Thanksgiving has come and gone. Some of us still have a bit of leftover turkey and dressing in the fridge. The pies disappeared last weekend. But Thanksgiving is over. It's time to get ready for Christmas. The ritual is a familiar one, I'm sure. You climb up into the attic or wherever and find the boxes marked Xmas. You slap 11 months' worth of dust from them, and you pick up the boxes and carry them down from their attic hiding place, because it is time for Christmas once again. These boxes are treasure chests, though the treasures may be only bits of glass and sparkle. Their very presence and their familiarity make them precious beyond compare. On Christmas morning, the boxes you open may surprise you, but the delight of this box right now is that everything is so blessedly familiar. Here is an ornament you bought for that first Christmas tree the year you married. All the other ornaments in the set were broken as the children came and played with them, or they were crushed in more moves than you care to remember. Only this one ornament is left. It doesn't look as pretty as you remembered it, but no matter. Its history makes it perfectly lovely, and seeing it once again makes you happy. Inside the box marked Xmas, there is a smaller box. Streamers of tissue are carefully wrapped around objects yet unseen. You hold one gently in the palm of your hand and unwind the paper to discover a wise man holding his gift. Once again, he has come at Christmas in his stately porcelain robes, seeking the Christ child. You unwrap camels and shepherds, the mother and the angel, the whole cast of characters in the nativity scene. Unwrapping the smallest bundle, you know what you will find. And sure enough, here is baby Jesus. The glue on his porcelain knee has turned an ugly yellowish brown color over so many years. And you remember how that happened one Christmas Eve. The toddler staggering and giggling across the floor, cradling baby Jesus in outstretched hands, and how she lurched and suddenly sat down and the porcelain figure dashed against the coffee table. "Baby Jesus broke," she declared. And she cried and cried, and you laughed, and she watched as you glued the knee back on. You remember it as if it were only last Christmas. And you remember that you must also go out to the airport and pick her up when she flies in from her family, with her family later this month. And you decide to leave a few ornaments in the box for your grandchildren. This box marked Xmas holds keepsakes known and familiar, and they're treasures for all of you, so many generations. Look all through the Xmas box, and you will find angels and reindeers and Santa and Joseph and Mary, and only you know what else you might find. But one whom you will not find in your box is John the Baptist. Though John the Baptist comes each year in Advent as faithful as any shepherd or wise man, we do not find in our nativity scenes a porcelain figure of John clothed with a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. John the Baptist comes as a herald in Advent, and the church tunes her ears to hear not yet the sound of angels singing in the night, but the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The Gospel of John describes the Baptist ministry. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, the Gospel of John underlines vehemently, not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. The other Gospels describe John the Baptist as a strange-sounding figure foraging on locusts and wild honey. But in the Gospel of John, it is not John the Baptist who is the stranger. Rather, he points us to another one who is a stranger. "I baptize with water," says John, "but among you stands one whom you do not know." Among you stands one whom you do not know. He's referring, of course, to Jesus. He heralds Jesus as one whom you do not know. What a curious thing to say. We know Jesus. He's the baby in the manger of the nativity scene. He's the doll baby in the Christmas pageant. Our words tell us that we know Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's Word made flesh. He is God from God, light from God, true God from true God, as the Nicene Creed puts it. Jesus is the reason for the season, the bumper sticker says. We know Jesus. We carry Jesus around with us. Nothing strange about him. But still, these words of John the Baptist haunt us. Among you stands one whom you do not know. The 1920s American author Bruce Barton wrote a best-selling book about Jesus titled The Man Nobody Knows. It was a bestseller, enormously influential, but as it turns out, the man nobody knows is a man everybody knows. As Barton explains him, Jesus is the executive, the outdoor man, the sociable man, the founder of modern business. Barton says, he picked up 12 men from the bottom ranks of business and forged them into an organization that conquered the world. Jesus was just like us, in other words, or if not like us, at least like our best and biggest dreams of success. In short, Jesus was sort of like Santa Claus. He comes to give us what we want. In W.H. Auden's Christmas oratorio for the time being, it is Herod the King, who is a thoroughly reasonable and practical man. And he prays, "O God, put away justice and truth, for we cannot understand them and do not want them. Eternity would bore us dreadfully. Leave thy heavens and come down, become our uncle, look after baby, amuse grandfather, escort madam to the opera, help Willie with his homework, introduce Muriel to a handsome naval officer, be interesting and weak like ourselves, and we will love you as we love ourselves." Herod explains himself, saying, "I ask for a God who should be as much like me as possible. What use to me is a God whose divinity consists in doing difficult things that I cannot do, or saying clever things which I cannot understand? The God I want and intend to get must be someone I can recognize immediately, without having to wait and see what he says or does. There must be nothing in the least extraordinary about him. Produce him at once, please. I'm tired of waiting." And that is precisely the one whom John the Baptist will not produce. John the Baptist stands there for all time, Christ's herald, interrupting our familiar Christmas celebrations with the announcement, "Among you stands one whom you do not know." We handle the familiar treasures of Christmas with such casual hands that we may forget that the coming of the Messiah, of God's promised one, is always cloaked in mystery. The one who is present to us is always the hidden one. The one John reveals to us is also the one who is concealed. Among you stands one whom you do not know. We know Jesus. And if we know Jesus at all, we know him as mystery. He is among us and far, far beyond us. We wonder at his presence. We know Jesus. And because we know Jesus, we know we don't know Jesus. We know Jesus. But the songs that we sing express not only our tenderness, but also our longing. An African-American spiritual sings, "Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago, sweet little Jesus child, and we didn't know who you was." We open the old box marked Xmas and unpack the familiar creche. It's good to have the enchanting porcelain figures, mother and child, ox and donkey, the beautiful angels. It's important that we use these figures to tell our children the lovely, familiar story of Christmas. But isn't there a danger of shrinking the whole story down to pretty porcelain figures, something that, heaven forbid, we can grasp and hold on to and manipulate? The angels appear in the sky to remind us how truly strange this story is. They appear singing in the night sky to usher us forever into the presence of something vast and mysterious. John the Baptist, the herald, calls our attention to it. "Among you stands one whom you do not know." Isn't that what we hope at Christmas? Beyond all the reasonable hopes we hope, deeper down than the hopes we can easily speak, don't we hope that John the Baptist's word is so? Isn't our greatest dread this time of year the fear that Christmas is nothing more than what we make of it ourselves? We lug it down from the attic and unpack it and arrange it and rearrange the figures and then stow it all back again in January. Don't we hope that in the very midst of all that is so familiar and known, we might be invaded by wonder and mystery yet unknown? Don't we hope that something will happen that we don't make happen? That God will surprise us with something we did not schedule, something we did not anticipate? John the Baptist's announcement is disturbing. "Among you stands one whom you do not know," but it is also glad tidings of great joy, that among all that is so familiar in these celebrations, there is more, vastly more. In the midst of all that is so blessedly familiar, there is a blessing greater yet, one which we do not know and which we have not yet imagined. "Among you stands one whom you do not know," says John the Baptist. John comes to bear witness to the light, to herald the coming one, and with just such strange and cloudy words as these, he does bear witness. The one who comes at Christmas comes as a stranger, no slave to either our expectations or our habits. Beyond all that we expect, all we hope, all we plan, he comes to us. The English poet Christopher Smart was dismissed in his own day as being mentally unstable. His instability consisted of stopping people on the street and asking strangers to pray with him. It was left to later readers to discover the genius of his poetry. Christopher Smart begins his Christmas poem asking, "Where is this stupendous stranger?" They said Christopher Smart was crazy, but he was crazy with the foolishness of the gospel and the wisdom of God. "Where is this stupendous stranger that I might meet him, that I might know him, that I might befriend him?" John the Baptist tells us that Jesus comes among us as a stranger, but those who seek his light who try to live their lives in his light will learn who he is in their own experience. In their struggles and in their pain and even in their despair, they will discover the companionship of one they did not know and had not expected. Their joys will be magnified in his light, and in his light, all that is so familiar will glow with a new radiance. All that we know, all that is so familiar, bears witness and waits for this one whom we do not yet know. But we shall know him. We shall know him. John the Baptist heralds him. And in Advent, we wait and hope and look for his coming among us.